Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Health Blast Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher of Alternative Medicine and Wellness Radio. It is going to be a great year, 2015. We are going to have several of our guests who are inspirational, telling their stories, sharing a lot of their tips about how to live a holistic life and love it. We all have all kinds of challenges these days, and we say we'll try things. We don't get the greatest results, or sometimes it's just mediocre. But we're going to learn to love a holistic life. Isn't that great? We're going to learn that it's great to get up in the morning. It's fabulous if it rains, and it's absolutely incredible that we have these challenges and all of the things we can learn from that. And isn't life just a roller coaster? So thank you so much for joining us. Please check us out on Health Blast Radio on Facebook and also Health Blast 2015 on Twitter. Also our website, drjeanettegallagher.com, for more information. We also have a women over the age of 50 group starting February 1st, which will be sharing a lot of information about how to help us and ourselves. As we are women, we are also caregivers. We are also part of this world that will be bringing more compassion and empathy towards others. Please do join, and please do check it out on our website, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. And now, back to the show. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the show, Alternative Medicine and Wellness. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here. On live on Sedona Talk Radio, Blog Talk Radio, we are archived on iTunes, and by the end of January, all of our shows will be on YouTube. Isn't that wonderful? We're expanding our venues so that more and more listeners will be able to take advantage of all of the inspiring guests that we've had on these shows. We have now over 200, and possibly by the middle of February, we should have almost 300 radio shows that you'll be able to check out on talking about health of your body, mind, spirit, your soul. We talk to shamans. We talk about omega-3s. We talk about what kind of fulfilling life you've had. What is mature love? Why should I even bother to care what's going on in my refrigerator? And what is a food co-op? All of these different topics. What it's really all about is about a great life. So please do check out all of our venues, post some comments, and share on your social media, and it's a pleasure to have you with us. Today my guest is Barbara McNally. Her book is called Unbridled, a Memoir, and I really found this is a wonderful book to sit down and read from the front to the back. Now, many times, listeners, I've always said, just pick up the book, open it up, read two or three sentences. Absolutely not with this. This is something you read from the very first page, the very first words, which is the most important part of this book, is just to get started right at the beginning and read page to page. And what I found is when I started reading it, I could find so many different areas that I said, oh, that sounds like me. Oh, my gosh, I would never do that. Oh, what is that about? That sounds so interesting. And then you get involved in the story. So please do have an ink pen with you and just, you know, underline a few words that might sound really great, you want to come back to, or that really the phrase just speaks to you. That's the kind of book this is. It's an absolutely wonderful story that Barbara has put on these pages, and it's really a story about her life. And Barbara will be sharing that with us, and it'll be a lovely talk because we'll be talking Irish to Irish, which is me being a Gallagher, really. So it'll be a wonderful talk today. So, Barbara, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, well, I'm excited to talk with you, and thanks for having me on the air.
Great. You know, don't you think that it's just Irish to Irish? Some people can say, oh, that's nothing, you know, but sometimes I think we have a lot in our background and in our ancestry line that will say, maybe we're just a little feisty people, maybe we're just quiet people, or maybe we're just people who like to be in the earth, or maybe we're people who like to be at home. There's always something in our background that just drives us, don't you think?
Absolutely, and that's what Unbridled's about, is going back to my ancestors and my roots and finding more about myself by learning about where I came from.
Yeah, you know, everybody can push the button on that ancestry.com, and I'll tell you, those are all words. They really don't mean very much. You know, I have this crazy habit of I love to walk cemeteries. Don't ask me why, don't know why. But, you know, living here in New Orleans now, all the cemeteries, you know, the graves are above ground. And one day I was walking through there. I always go on November 2nd, All Souls Day. And I was walking through and I looked at all the stones and you could see all of the lineage on the stone from like the 1700s all the way through till now in one, you know, concise grave. And I said, boy, this has nothing over Ancestry.com. And you could really almost feel that sense of the family at that time. And I think we've lost that. We don't even have that connection anymore.
Well, for me, it was important to go back to find out who I came from, to find the strength in women of my past. And not everybody can travel to Ireland, but right. They can at least go back to somewhat of their past, either by talking to relatives or going back to, if they're not from so far away as Ireland, like Mexico.
Right.
But as far as we can all go back to our roots somewhat to find out, and it helps us know more about ourselves, our strengths and our weaknesses.
You know, and a lot of women, as we've said before the show, you know, in decades before, they only lived till their 30s, 40s, sometimes 50s, and now we're living so much longer. I mean, my grandmothers both lived until their 99th year. And,
wow.
You know, my grandfathers did not. They, you know, through, you know, life and drink and all this other stuff, you know, they, and their hard jobs because they worked in the mines, you know, with black lung and stuff. And they passed away much earlier in their 50s and 60s. But I think the women of my past has really been strong women, but sometimes I've always felt that they've been silently strong, or sometimes I also felt that they were silently avoiding life. And you really came out and said, you know, hey, I want to find out, I want to touch, feel, smell, and know about my life and about myself. Don't you think that's what your story's about?
Yes, and it's a lot about conflict resolution between my mom and my grandmother, and all of us have different role models, and some of my mother's role model was appearances or everything. I used to say she was re-wallpapering when the house was filled with termites,
mm-hmm.
But I don't want to throw that out entirely because appearances do matter. You know, the cover of my
right.
book's important for people to pick it up. We need to be polished when we go out for a job interview. And so some of the things my mom taught me about appearances are important, and I keep that. And then some of the things I learned from my grandmother, who was really out of the box, a woman before her time. She would dance with the flappers on Friday night and then march with the suffragettes on Saturday morning. So she was a woman ahead of her time. And that woman, I really needed her strength for me to be a modern woman and break out of the confines of what people think. And like you said, that silent, passive, subordinate housewife.
Yeah, and you just don't even know. We like to judge that decade that's so close to our past. You know, mm-hmm. all the time we say, our parents did this, so of course we're not going to do that. And it always seems to go, you know, you could work your way backwards from that, and you could see that same pattern all the way through life. But also, I think if you go through 2 to 3 generations back, those are more of your deeper connections.
Correct. Well, I even went back to the Celtic history, so I don't know if it's something you'd find on Ancestry.com, but for any of your Irish out there, you know, the Celtic women were very strong women, and it was a society that was pre-Christian that held women as equals. So when I went to Ireland, I studied a lot of the very past of where there were strong women. Grace O'Malley's one of them. She was a pirate queen, and I don't know if for the Irish audience out there, St. Bridget is a saint that the Catholics took, but she was actually a mystical figure, a witch from prehistoric Celtic times. So, yeah, I think when we go back to it, it's not always black and white, but more like where can we find the strength? That's what we want to find. And the Irish, like you said, have got that fighter instinct and that mm-hmm. not being able to be subdued. So that's what I wanted to grasp onto, was that Irish strength.
It's too funny you said about the mystic part, too, of our past. Is because when I came back to New Orleans, they said, oh, she's a voodoo priestess and she's a shaman. And I had taken that as an offense, you know, 10 years ago. But now I've grown into it and says, you know, what does that really mean to you? Is that something negative or is that something positive? Or really, what are you talking about, you know? And I think they almost categorized it as a fearful thing, that they just didn't understand what life was about, or healing your body or healing your mind and body and spirit. They didn't know what it meant. So they just kind of threw me into that category and said, hey, there you go. You know, we'll cast you out with the other things that we don't understand.
Right. If they don't understand you, they throw it out. And plus, as a woman, that's where the witches came. You know, they were afraid of women that had strength and powers, and they wanted to burn them. So in a way, you know, you could be frightening because you're intelligent, you know, you're a doctor, and yet you're so open-minded that, you know, society questions that.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I think that's really important for all the listeners to understand and grasp that, because there's a lot of women, I think, right now are really coming into their own. We always say, oh, well, now the kids are off to school, you know, your own kids have kids and whatever, and you're really trying to find yourself, because you know you don't want to be that woman just sitting in the nursing home, you know, looking at the four walls. You really want to get out and do what you can, knowing that you have a limited time of, you know, life left. And, boy, there's a lot of people that are really kicking up their heels these days. We hear about them all the time on the news. We see it in movies. We see it in magazines. These strong women, you know, 78 years old and they're bodybuilders and things. So I think it's really important to understand that this is a great thing and a great revolution time in history.
Absolutely. And on Wednesdays, I blog on Women to Watch, and one of them is Malala of Pakistan. And she's a young girl, 17, that was shot because she wanted to go to school, and she won the Nobel Peace Prize this year. So to me, she's our woman of the day that inspires us that we can be the change we want to make in the world, that it is possible. If a 17-year-old girl can stand up and make a change, us women in our 50s, we can make a change too. That empowers me, and it inspires me to see what Malala's done.
And, you know, to even look at our own children, you have girls, and, you know, I have one girl, and to see how they've blossomed into being the women they are too. Have you noticed about, I'd say in the past 10 years, very young girls have come out and say, I know what I'm doing, and they're just plain doing all these things. It's not... In other words, they have a lot less fears or limitations or judgments on the lives that they're leading.
Absolutely. And I like the way you had said before we went on the air that, you know, we used to live only 40 years and now we live till we're 100. So we do have lots of chapters, and 50's not old at all, especially if we're lucky enough to live till we're 90.
Right.
Yes, and you brought up the point about till death do us part, and marriage vows were made when we only lived till we were 40. And in my book, you know, I do say, you know, till death do us our part, and our marriage was dead. So I moved on after 20 years of marriage. And I know that sounds like blasphemy to some, you know, conservative Christians, but the truth is everything in life serves our purpose, our jobs, our relationships. And when one cocoon breaks, a new life starts. And my memoir is about the new life from 40 on and how I recreated my life to matter, like you said, because we want to matter while we're here.
Yes, and we preach about that all the time on this show. It's a very big mantra of mine is that, you know, we all want to be heard, but we all need to listen to other people too, you know. So we have to give and take with the two ears that we have on our heads. You know, so many people will sit down and say, I want to be heard, and they demand it, but they don't want to hear or listen to anyone else in return about how they want to be heard, and that's such a, you know, one-way street.
Well, hopefully Reading Unbridled will inspire women to write their own story, and I wrote it because I wanted to not die with the colors inside of me, but I also wanted other women to have the courage to live out their colors so they don't die with the music inside of them, to find their path. So I definitely want to hear from other women, have them tell their stories.
It's really great in your story, though, which we're going to talk about now, is your story, by you having the courage to do what you did, you can look back and say your children and your mother can look at that and then have the strength inside of them. So really, you were a marker to them that said, it's okay, you know, I did it, I'm still here and I'm still okay.
Well, and too, I think I talked to other women that say, oh, my God, I've turned into my mother, or...
Yeah.
And I'm saying that we don't have to be our mother or a grandmother. My mom kind of rebelled against her mom and went completely the opposite way. And I'm saying to my daughters, who are the stream for the book, is we don't have to be our mother or a grandmother. We can be our own person, but we can learn from all these women in our life. Just like you're talking about your Irish past, we can take the good from our Irish past and let the bad go. And that's the same with the women role models in our life, whether it's our mother or grandmother or somebody famous. Every Wednesday I blog on Women to Watch, so women can be inspired and see which women they really connect with. I want those kind of qualities that in me, and I, of course we have them, but by reading about other women that have lived them out, we can kind of get them from our inside of us and live them out too.
Well, can you tell us a little bit of how you started your journey? What your book is all about?
Well, the first chapter is A Cheater and a Liar. I kind of got fired from my marriage. It was a passive-aggressive way to get out of the marriage, not one I'm proud of. So it is a story bit of redemption, of going from a dishonest life to an honest life. But the marriage was over, and I wasn't looking very good with the scarlet letter. And it's like, how am I going to start again, and where am I going to go from here and pick up the pieces and apologize to my daughters, make amends, and move forward living out a more positive but yet full life. So the memoir is a journey of redemption and a journey of freedom. That's why it's called Unbridled. But the ending showcases personal freedom, and it's different than most memoirs in that I don't end the book with a Prince Charming. And also I end the book with a call to action, and that's a foundation to help other women. And the foundation is called Mother, Lover, Fighter, Sage. And all the proceeds of the book go to this foundation.
That's wonderful. And you know what, though, too, is that you also didn't take it where you replace, when along your journey, you didn't take some of the sadness and replace it with something else. Do you know what I mean? In other words, you didn't try to co-fix yourself. You know, so many times we say, I have a hole in me and I'm just going to replace it with another person, another place, another thing, and that will make me whole. And then 2, 4, 5 years down the road, you've got the same situation again. You really worked through it pretty vigorously to make sure where you were coming out on the other end.
Correct. And, you know, I started out wanting a man to save me, the Prince Charming, and ended with men or one spoke on the wheel. From all of you audience out there 50 plus, I mean, I love men. Men are fun, but I'm not looking for a man to save me. He's just one part in the wheel of life.
Yeah. And so many people, you know, I have a lot of friends, they would say to me, you know, I'm really missing something and I feel so deep in despair. And they really have that, they will say, when he died or he left me or whatever, he broke my heart, which we are going to be working a lot on in 2015 on, you know, the women's program. And we're going to be saying, you know, about healing a heart, because healing a heart will lead to heart disease. It will lead to heart attacks. It could lead to strokes. It could lead to an early death. It could lead to not even living your life fully, even today, let alone next week, next year. So a lot of times when we give out that power and we just keep saying, let my heart keep bleeding in grief or in pain, eventually it stops bleeding and you're ended up with nothing. So really about finding yourself in that core is what has to light you from within. And it's so hard to get lit from within if you really don't have someone to kind of like guide you or be near you or even have a sense of who you are. And sometimes it's yourself, but sometimes it's a therapist, sometimes it's a friend or a family member, but you really need to have someone or something work with you to be able to bring you out of that.
Absolutely, and it's not an easy process.
But
the transition from saying they did this to me to taking some self-responsibility, I use the model of mother, lover, fighter, sage. And if I could just take a minute to say what that means.
Absolutely.
The mother is the nurturing, healing, empathetic side of a woman. And we can live that out positively or negatively. The lover is the passionate, playful, sensual, creative side of a woman. The fighter is the assertive, goal-driven side of a woman. And the sage is the intuitive, spiritual, wise side of a woman. So the foundation and the book have these threads going through it. And like you said, first of all, you know, we can live these out positively or negatively. And I also hear a lot of the mourning of the mother, the mm-hmm. loss of their children growing up. So the negative mom is one that's holding on to their kids even when they're gone or disconnected from. So I'm saying the positive way to live out the mother is, for example, when our kids grow up and leave and don't need us as much, we can nurture other women, which we're doing right now.
Right.
In my book, Unbridled, I went to Jamaica and worked in an orphanage because my kids no longer needed me, so that filled that void. I could help other people. And then I came home and started the foundation, and we can go on to that. But I think if I were working with someone, and right now on the phone, if these women could think, if they're having a heartache because they feel like the loss of their children, and then they want to blame it on their kids, well, you don't call enough, you don't come home enough for the holidays. Mm-hmm. It's like all this guilt put on our kids when it's really our issue. Like, okay, you know, like the prophet said, our children come through us, they're not of us. So how can I fill that void? So maybe you can answer for the lover. You said women that have lost a love, whether their husbands died or their lovers left them. How can they replace the lover without blaming the other person? So how can they replace that passionate, playful, central, creative side? How can they bring that out again so they don't have that, you were talking about the loss of a love? If you want to speak
on that. You know, I think a lot of times we always talk on the show about nourishing your heart in the first place. Is you're expecting your heart, your spiritual heart, to be able to fix you. Well, sometimes you just have to nourish the physical heart first. In other words, it seems like you have a weaker heartbeat. It seems like you're just not feeling well. You go to the doctor, you have low blood pressure. You feel like you're just kind of sinking into the seat when you sit down. Well, we say when you can bring up to a little bit higher your physical being, start nourishing your heart. We say nourish your heart and it will be there for you. So when it's starting to it be there for you, you start understanding a little bit more the concepts that our heart is important. And if you can take care of your heart and you can build it from within, it can start growing. A lot of times we talk about planting seeds. How can I nourish my heart? And we look at rose hips all the time, hawthorn. You know, it has a wonderful, wonderful extract. It's a solid extract. And we say, you know, it's really great because I'm nourishing my heart. So in turn, you're feeling like this beautiful rose hips are just, it's nourishing your heart physically, and then you'll feel warm inside. And so in other words, that esoteric kind of idea of your heart will start to warm and grow. Then you have no other reason other than to say, okay, I'm sitting up straight. I'm ready to feeling a little bit stronger. You know, my physical body's feeling a little stronger. And then you start bringing forth healing that inner grief because you're actually giving your body something that's saying, you know, it's everything's going to be okay. You know, it's when you see most people and they're really have a lot of hits. Let's say with the mother, their kids are leaving, their husband decides, you know, he's sick of listening to you when he comes home because you haven't talked to anyone all day and now you're only going to talk to him. And then you're really trying to find your place in the world, but then you're challenging, you know, hey, I've only got 20, 30 years left and really what am I going to do? And do I really believe in God? These women are the ones, you know, going right along your four topics here, are saying, you know, man, I'm really knocked down. You know, I am really flat on the floor. And that is the truth. A lot of women are really experiencing that in their late 50s, you know, early 60s. And that's what's really a hard place to be. But we always say to them, nourish your physical and just start bringing forth that.
That's awesome. Well, and obviously if anybody's everyone who's listening is on the first step. They're taking responsibility for their life and they're not playing the victim. So to take responsibility for our heart, which I would call the lover, that we're on that one. I thank you for sharing what we can take into our body. And then I would take it to the next step and say, take some time out there. You know, what makes you feel playful? Central creative side can you bring out? What passion can you bring out? So for myself, I don't think of it just as sexual, like with a man. I think of how can I bring that playfulness back? Like I love to dance. You know, take a dance class. Or maybe someone else loves to paint. But it's bringing that, and that's all heart healthy. You're talking about the heart.
Right.
So physically, of course, exercise brings our endorphins. but it also brings our playfulness back. And then we're taking responsibility for our happiness and not blaming on a man who left. And I'm not saying another man may not come back in our lives, or the same man may come back, but all we have is today, and it's really important that we keep care of ourselves today. And if it's a man's not in our life, we can still keep care of our heart, like you had suggested, and I suggest find that playfulness again, that child within, to play and enjoy life.
You know, it's so funny. I find, I don't know if you do this, but I've always done it, is every 5 to 10 years, you know, the overhaul of your closet. And the biggest shocker was the overhaul of the closet in this past year. Because if you look back, I'll be 59, so if you look back, it was 49. 49 was, you know, a pretty good year for me, you know. A lot of things were going on in my life. It was really great, blah, blah, blah. But I went through the clothes, and I said, my gosh, look at this stuff, you know. I really don't want to throw this away. And am I really going to have to give away my string bikini? Are you kidding me? You know, and we might laugh about that. We might say that has no meaning, but it really does, because to some women, they're saying, are you saying I'll never wear those things again? Really? And that is, to some women, very much, they feel a loss of their feminine body, too. They feel a loss of their sexuality in that. And or when they start putting away all of the stilettos that they may have had, or, you know, all of these big different kinds of earrings. You know, just those markers of your life where you felt, you know, on top of the world, and you're saying, oh, they're all going to go by the wayside now.
Exactly, and we don't want any of these parts of us to die. I'm not judging somebody who wants to just be Mother Earth and, you know, not wear makeup, right, and stay at home and bake and keep care of the grandkids. If that fulfills her life, then good for her. But if there's somebody who wants to still have the lover in them, you're right, and sometime physically it does help, you know. Once we put our high heels on and red lipstick, mm-hmm, we feel sexy and we want to go dancing. And that never has to end. And in the book, not true for back, but I do end it with burlesque, where, mm-hmm, I did take up dancing. And that is out there. Most women would not take up burlesque. But it's the art of the tease, and it's owning, it's kind of the sexy feminist saying, you know, I own my sexiness and I love it and I love being a woman. And that's why I call it the sexy feminist. It's, I'm strong and I'm sexy. And we do have role models of women that can age gracefully if that's how they want to express. I'm, you know, some women that's not what they're into, but if that they don't want that part of them to die, there's many articles that I've written about, you know, sexiness is going on, and it's like the last freedom is now, you know, people don't want to acknowledge that the senior citizens are having sex, but it's very, very active in our society, and it's a part of our society, just like the gay society, that people want to ignore. They think, you know, sex is only for the young and gorgeous, but no, it never needs to die.
Right. And we talk a lot, too, about that elder care, the sexual activity of those over the age of 65, where I have done many, many times, I've gone to nursing homes, and most of the women would report to us, they would say, you know, it's not very good here. The men are very pervasive. It is very, there's no protection. People that have dementia and beginning of Alzheimer's are being, you know, acted upon as victims and things. So this is really about saying, own your life while you have the capacity to own your life, because life is really short. You know, we're not 30 and 40 anymore. You know, we are over 50. And it's time to say, just enjoy today. Go out and enjoy today, because sitting by and waiting and waiting and waiting is really not going to get us anywhere at all, except just clock ticking by. But we do have many, many years left, so just enjoy those. And that's really what your story is all about.
Absolutely, and mattering. I love Malala's quote. She says, let us remember, one book, one pen, one child, and one teacher can change the world. And I did write a book, and you can too out there, and from it I started a foundation, and I'm helping other women, one woman at a time. The biggest thing, that my book now is at Costco, and I was written up nationally in Costco for the foundation, which helps the wives of wounded warriors. So for the last 6 years, I've had a spa day, which ties into feeling pretty, twice a year for the last 6 years for the wives of wounded warriors. And it's their day to come and have a day of normalcy, bond with other women, and feel gorgeous. You know, get a massage, get a facial, lay by the pool, and just really celebrate being a woman away from being a mom or a wife or their jobs. It's just a day for them. So I want to inspire other women to go out there, and that goes into the next one. We've talked about the mother. Once our kids are raised, who else can we nurture to fill that void? Mm-hmm. The lover. If we don't have a man, how can we experience that playful, fun side? Not that we need a man or not, but there's other ways to be a lover to ourselves. The last one, the next one's the fighter. And I would love your input on this, but the fighter is the assertive, goal-driven side of a woman. And I know that we get tired. So I'm saying it's not too late to write a book, start a foundation, to be the change we want to be in the world. So it's not just about enjoying life, except this has brought me more enjoyment than even dancing burlesque. When I have a spa day for the Wives of Wounded Warriors and I see how these women bond and help each other, that is a joy to me. It's just a thrill. So I don't know what goals your audience has out there, but we all have dreams, and maybe we need kind of a kick in the butt to get going and make those dreams a reality. So I don't know, maybe you want to share your story of how you got a radio show and how you were able to pull out that fighter, the assertive, goal-driven side of yourself.
Well, I think a lot of times, you know, when I didn't go, I've been in healthcare since the early 70s, and each time there's always been a different thing that would actually drive me to be able to go to the next step. Like when I was in naturopathic school, you know, it was the dean said, well, this really isn't for you. You know, you kind of don't reflect on that. You don't have the appearance that we wish to share about this profession. And it was like, I don't know what you're talking about, you know, and I just kept out going out and doing my own thing. But then when we had Hurricane Katrina, it was all about, oh my gosh, you know, we lose all these things. We've got flooded in. We've, you know, what really is life about? And then you start thinking about what is health and wellness. So really that's where the time now we'll be talking about in 2015 is about what is really important in life. Is it all about all those tchotchkes and all that crap that you have to dust every single day? Or is it how much money that you're saving and putting away to leave to your kids, but you're still living on a minimum wage salary?
Exactly.
Which is, these are stories from so many people I've heard. And it's all about, you know, we don't have to go out and, you know, exorbitantly spend all of our money, or we don't need to go out and, you know, be marching an activist if that's not what's made for us. But we do need to speak up who we are. I know I've done a lot of work with domestic abuse and violence in families, and it's really a tough road for those women to say, you know, I really need to step up and out and away from it, or it doesn't have a hold on me anymore, and how can we really do that? And it's that's probably one of the most dangerous times for a woman to actually have to stand up for themselves. I mean, I live in New Orleans, and there's not a day that goes by we don't have 2, 3, 4 stories on the news about a woman, you know, either being raped in a parking lot at noontime, at lunchtime, and everybody says, oh, I didn't know that was going on in that car. Or, you know, a woman found in a garbage can in the back of the grocery store. Really? You know, and it's really a whole lot of abuse on women. So I really think it's a time for women to really start standing up and saying, you know, I'm worth it, I can be heard. And that's really where we've focused a lot on this radio show is women that have been able to get through that. And we keep repeating the stories, repeating about authors and doctors and physicians. Everybody's been on here saying it's really important to stand up and speak out and to be heard and to be noticed. You know, we're not here to just be misused or to misuse others. So just about being able to give value to ourselves, then our life would be worth it, and to pass that on to our family.
Absolutely, and that is the fighter. And in my story, I had said, you know, I was the prisoner, I held the key, and I was the guard. And that's a old saying or cliche, but in Jamaica, I worked at a home for women who were abused, well, actually girls from 12 to 18. And when I was working with them, I saw these girls had no choice. They had no education, and their choice was either prostitution on the streets or being held in this more almost like a prison. It was a holding tank for them. And the only skills we could teach them were, because they were uneducated, was possibly better English to work at the resorts in Jamaica, to start a chicken farm, which I actually did. For it would cost only $300 for a girl to start her own chicken farm to get her off the streets. So the takeaway for me is when I come home, it's like, how can I help in my own backyard, for one? And the other takeaway is I felt like a prisoner, and yet I did have choices, and I chose not to take the choices for many years in my marriage. I was not abused, but I didn't set boundaries. And so I can't really, they say the first time you're hit, it's their fault after that. I signed up for it. I signed up for a marriage where I was the subordinate. He wrote the checks. He made all the rules. And I wouldn't go so far to say it was an abusive relationship, but I will say that I signed up to give up all my freedom, and it's really hard to change the rules in the middle of the game. So those women out there who feel like, you know, it is hard after 50 to change the rules, but it is possible. Sometimes it means getting out of the relationship because it's too hard to tell that change the rules within that relationship. But as long as we acknowledge that we gave up our freedom, it wasn't really their fault. We gave it up, that we won't give it up again in another relationship. So this is definitely the fighter, the assertive, goal-driven side of a woman, and that's what I teach is women to learn how to set boundaries, and instead of taking it a negative, set a positive. Where do you want to go with your life? You know, do you want to help another abused woman? Well, then how can you do that? You know, do you want to write a book? Do you want to dance a dance? What positive do you want to do with your life? And We do have the key to our prison, and it's we can't blame it on everyone else if we're going to move forward. Correct?
And also too, to look back at all those situations and be thankful for them, because either the lessons, you know, you've learned from them or the issues that you've brought up in yourself. Because everybody does learn from some things in the past if you actually reflect back on it. And it's, you know, I can remember my ex-husbands, you know, I would say to them, you know, so I would talk to them like maybe years afterwards, and I'd say, so what do you think we've learned? And we can actually still talk about that, and we're not in that place where there's, you know, we're going to fight tooth and nail or whatever it might be. And we're just regular people that just happen to know each other, and that's really a tough place for a lot of people to get. But I would let them know that it is possible, because you don't really have to walk around with this thing on your shoulder, you know, he did this to me or I did that to him or whatever. And sometimes that's such a hard thing to carry, because it really reflects on the rest of your life and on your children.
Absolutely, and that's where introspection comes in. I say at the beginning of the book, you know, my marriage was a success. It didn't last a lifetime, and he was a great teacher. You know, I do think our marriage was a success, and there was a time, you know, when it was over. So to move on, and unless we go in and find out what we did, we take responsibility for the lessons and the mistakes we made in our marriage, or it's hard. We won't be able to solve it in the next one. We'll just keep repeating the same pattern. And that's, the book is introspective as far as mother-daughter relationships, so that I don't repeat the same patterns with my daughters. And it is introspective as far as my marriage, so I don't repeat the same patterns going forward. And sometimes it's painful to go and think and go inside, but I hand it to you. Anyone who's listening to this radio station is willing to look within, you know, so that they take responsibility for their life.
Yes, and if, you know, if you say, I made a huge mistake and I really did do something really not so good, just say, okay, and then move on. You know, that thing that we have to carry and feel like pain and grief forever is just not a good thing. It's almost like you really need to clean out your closet, clean out your house. You know, after you have a divorce or whatever, you don't always want to bring the same furniture into the house. You don't want to bring the same, you know, energy into your home. So people say, I really want to clear all of this out so I can start anew. And that's what's really important.
Absolutely. I say it's ghosts from the past. Yeah, just start all over. And you can always, I love the way you said before, like you didn't, they didn't want to give heels away or give something away.
Right.
We can always recreate it again. You know, if it's okay to get rid of clothes or get rid of a house that no longer serves us, we can always get more clothes. We can always recreate,
right.
You know, have another home in another place. So letting go of the past is important, and saying sorry. You know, I have made mistakes. I'm not going to say we've all made mistakes if we're honest,
yeah.
But I say I've learned from them. And also the other takeaway I was thinking was the karma. You know, like when things, how can we turn something bad into something good? Yes, you know, my marriage dissolved, but I turned it into something good by writing a book about it and by starting a foundation. So we can turn things that maybe if we were abused, we can turn that into helping other women, you know. So whatever has happened in our past that was we see as negative, we can turn it into a positive by helping other women and sharing the lessons we've learned and taking it in a positive direction.
Absolutely. And can you tell us a little bit more? Let's talk just a tiny bit about Ireland, because, you know, a lot of the story is about that, and it's a wonderful story. Can you tell us what Ireland looked like when you saw through those eyes when you were there, and then what you really found as you went through it? That would be
well,
wonderful.
Great. Well, that ties in with the last, because I went through mother, lover, fighter, and sage. That's
mm-hmm.
My grandma would call it a saint, but since I thought that might be too religious, but Irish Catholic, it was saint. But that's our intuitive, spiritual, wise side of a woman. And that's actually what I found in Ireland. I went to Ireland. It was clean and gorgeous, green. As they say, you don't go to Ireland for the weather, but the landscaping is beautiful. And it was spiritual to me because it was so simple. You know, America, I was caught up in the materialism of houses and raising kids and keeping up with the Joneses. And when I went back to Ireland riding horses, it was like going back in time to a simpler time. And that was so good for my soul. The other thing that's good for my soul was the food. It's comfort food, you know, going into a pub and having shepherd's pie or just the warm, warm old-fashioned food that actually kind of reminds me of food in the 50s, you know, it's stews
mm-hmm.
and grilled cheese sandwiches and soups and just really comfort food. So I love Ireland. When I went back, I went to find out from whence I've come. And some of the inspirational women, as I said, were Grace O'Malley, a pirate queen, St. Bridget at the Well, who St. Bridget is honored all over. And then I met women horseback riding and went back to the gravesite of my ancestors. So I just felt, just from being in the land, so much strength and so much spirituality. The Celtic religion the Celtic language is still alive in Ireland. It's a very old island, and I just think if anyone went there, they would absolutely love it. So I don't know. I could go on and on about Ireland. Maybe I need another question. What part of Ireland you want to hear about?
Well, you know, because it is so different, I think sometimes we get so wrapped up in the energy of the location we're in, sometimes a physical change of a different space is exactly what's needed, because then you can go to this other space, and like you did in Ireland, and you said it's wonderful this, it's wonderful that, and everything. And then when you come back home, you can then have a fresher eye to look at the area that you're back into and say, what do I like about this, what I don't like about this, and should I change or should I not change my venue?
Definitely, and not everybody can travel to Ireland, but everybody can get off the hamster wheel for at least a weekend and go by themselves, maybe to a mountain, and camp for the weekend or stay in a bed and breakfast or go to the beach. The point is, you're right, getting away from where we're at on that hamster wheel. And once we get away by ourselves, not with family and friends, and I went by myself to Ireland, I had time to really listen to that sage, that intuitive inner wisdom. And that's what we need, because only we know what's best for our life and how we can live our life's purpose. And we have to get away from the chatter sometime to do that. And if you can't go all the way to your homeland, you can still get away for a weekend.
And also the idea of disconnecting, because you really need to totally disconnect from that which you believe to be able to have a chance to see what you might believe differently. You know, when we always say that is people say I go away and, you know, well, I got there on Saturday and my kids were calling me, my husband was mad at me, blah, blah, blah. They had a television in the place and, oh, I was watching TV for the whole weekend. It's kind of like you really need to totally disconnect from all that stuff to be able to have a quiet mind and, clear the palate, more or less.
Exactly, and I'm glad you encourage women to do that, and that goes back to the fighter, goal-driven side of a woman setting boundaries. And part of my mistakes were maybe if I had taken more time to keep care of myself, I wouldn't have left the marriage. Now, I'm not living with regrets, but I am helping other women take time for themselves so they don't completely sabotage the relationship or the job. And they say, oh, I don't have time for myself. And it's like, you don't have time not to spend on yourself. You know, you need to do that. It's a priority. And women feel guilty going away for a weekend or taking a few days off. Of course, their life's too busy. They say, you know, my kids need me. My husband needs me. You know, how can I get away? And they're afraid. And that's the other thing you said. Most people who read my book are inspired to take risks. Most people will not take the same risks I took, but you can take many ones. You're not maybe going to take burlesque dancing and go strip on stage, but maybe you'll buy sexy lingerie and see if you still got it going. Maybe you won't go all the way to Ireland for 2 weeks, but maybe you'll go by yourself somewhere for a weekend. That's what the step, correct? If they can just take one of those steps. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you can even... People say that I don't have the time or the money, and we always say just do one thing. If you're at home for one day, shut off every single thing electric around you. Sit in a room and just, you know, find something quiet, a pen and a paper, and just sit there and write down your thoughts, even if it's only for 10 or 15 minutes. But just disconnect from something or someone is so vitally important. I really think this is about history also, because we would have not had this conversation had this been in the 70s or 80s, because most people would say, you have a husband, you have a house, you have a job, you have kids, you'd better not mess it up. And people did not do it because they did not know the other side of the mountain, as we would say. You know, they didn't really know that there was another side of the mountain, most people. Don't forget, the internet was not even there. So they didn't know, you know, regular people who didn't travel a lot didn't know what was out there. People who didn't read a lot didn't know stories of other people. People who were not well educated never really learned much more. So this is really all about history, because I think it's really leaped forward in the past 20 years. And that's really something to be very well noted, because women over the ages of 50 now are really saying, my gosh, I never knew this stuff before and I can't suck in enough of it. You know, they're just out on this. It's almost like you let go of the wild horse, you know. It's just, oh my gosh, look at this expansive universe I live in, and I just got to have it.
Absolutely, and I love the horse metaphor. Yeah, you know, I ride a wild horse. I have a wild spirit, and it's taming the horse. It's so when the horse and rider are together, the ride is gorgeous. And my ride might be a little more exciting and fast than most people want to take, but when we do know, you know, when we can get in touch with our spirit, which I call the horse, and we can guide it in where we want to go, then we have control over our lives. And the other thing about being over 50 is we want to stay relative. So, mm-hmm. You know, we don't want to die. And one way, I really am an advocate of the foundation and making a change, because I think when we feel like we no longer can make a change in the world, we no longer matter in the world, and that's when a part of us dies. So, yeah. You know, the sexuality is one part we don't want to die, but I think more important is the fighter and the sage to know that we still matter. I mean, Hillary Clinton's over 50, and look at running for president. Whether you're a Democrat or Republican, you have to respect that there's no excuse for us dying at 50. There's a lot to go out there, and it's not to guilt somebody into making a difference. It's because it makes us feel alive, and we want to be alive. Like you said, we want to live every day till the end, not just go through life mediocrity.
Absolutely. And doesn't to some people, it will be a big grand adventure and a big, great program that they'll be involved in or doing. But for some women, it could just be, hey, you could be the monetary grandmother when someone forgets their cupcakes for the birthday party that they're supposed to have. The teacher can call you up and they could say, hey, we need 12 cupcakes by noon. Can you do it? You know, it could be something as simple as that. So you can make it, you could change almost anybody's life just by, you know, big, little, small, it doesn't matter.
And we have to feel that we matter to enjoy
right.
being here. And
yeah.
and you're absolutely right. It can be, I love Mother Teresa's quote, and she said that they asked, why do you help these children in Calcutta? She said, because it brings me so much joy. So for me, that's the litmus test. Not, oh my God, I have to go do this, I have to do that out of duty and
right.
obligation, because there is, even Jesus said, if you don't do it out of love, it doesn't mean anything. But if it brings us joy, if it gets us excited, then that's where we should be. And all of us have different ways of giving, but it has to ignite us inside. It has to excite us in order for us to make a difference. And for somebody, it would be making cupcakes. Since I have to admit I hate to cook, that would not be my dharma. But thank God there's women out there that enjoy cooking. And if you really enjoy cooking, that is your gift.
Absolutely, especially if you were the grandmother that was supposed to bring them and you didn't. You can call up some other person to do it, right?
Absolutely. I think that's great. And that's why you're so good at helping women get rid of the guilt, but finding what excites them, number one, and then how can they give? Because that, to me, those are the steps. First, what do you love? What makes you excited? Then how can I give with that?
Absolutely. Well, Barbara, we've come to the end of the show. It's been a pretty quick time. See, told you it would just fly by.
Well, great. Well, if anybody's interested in buying Unbridled, it's at Costco this Christmas. You can buy it for gifts. You can also buy it on Amazon or go to my website, Unbridled Freedom, or Google Barbara McNally. And all the proceeds of the book do go to the foundation helping other women. So it's a double win. You can buy it as Christmas gifts and you're giving to other women. And the other shout-out, I just wanted to let you know that if you're interested in following on Wednesdays, it's Women to Watch, and you might find somebody that inspires you. Friday is Pay It Forward Friday, and it's letting know where your money is going if you buy the book. It's all the activities of the foundation. And Monday is Marry Yourself Monday, ways to find joy in our life. So I hope that you'll check out Barbara McNally, Unbridled Freedom.
Thank you so much for being with us today. It was a pleasure to have you with us.
You too, and happy holidays. I look forward to the new year with you.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you so much. If you'd like more information about Barbara McNally, there is a link on the bottom of today's show page directly to her website where you'll be able to find out more information about her events, about all of her Monday, Wednesday, and Friday events, also where you'll be able to find out about purchasing her book. The book, again, is Unbridled, a memoir. It's by Barbara McNally. And we'd like to thank you so much for being with us here on Health Blast 2015. It's going to be a very long 60 days, and if we can extend it a little more, we may. It'll be day-to-day, a different person, author, practitioner, company. Just never know who will show up. We want to talk to you about ways to improve your health and wellness over the coming year. And we're also going to be redefining the definition of health and wellness, so please do check out our website. The website is drjeanettegallagher.com or mypersonaladvocate2.com. And we will be looking forward to seeing you there. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a true pleasure here on Sedona Talk Radio and Blog Talk Radio. Have a wonderful day, and until tomorrow, have a great time. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today here on Alternative Medicine and Wellness. It has been a pleasure to be with you, and we hope you found more information that will be able to make your life just a little bit easier. You know, it's not an easy trip all the time in this life, and sometimes we say, you know, if I could just maybe hear it from somebody else, or maybe hear that someone else's story might be similar to mine, or maybe just gain a few extra tips to make my journey a little bit easier. Please join us on Health Blast Radio every day for the year 2015, where we will be having so many different practitioners, all kinds of authors, just regular people like you and I, having a casual conversation about a different topic almost every day. Check out our website for more information on the Women Over Age 50 group. It is drjeannettegallagher.com. You can always just Google my name, Dr. Jeannette Gallagher, and you will find out so much more information about upcoming radio shows, about other websites I have, other programs we are currently doing. And if you just need help, please pick any of the websites, any of the links, and send me a private message. Thank you so much for joining us today on Health Blast Radio. It's been an absolute pleasure, and please, just in the morning, before you reach for that cell phone or the television remote or even your glasses, open your eyes and say, thank you, God, for another day. It's been a pleasure. And have a great day.